21 hours after ending the last edition of the morning show with Preston Scott, here we are, ready to begin another one. Good morning. Tuesday on the program, show number 4418 for March the 2nd. Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B, day 42 of America Held Hostage. Great to be with you. I'm Preston. Lots of things to discuss today, but I'm probably going to take you in a little bit of a different direction than what the headlines might lead you to think. Obviously, we've got the legislative session beginning today in Florida. That being said, we really, you know, we cover that on Mondays. There may be something that pops up through the week that we deal with. But let's face it, there's so much happening. But my curiosity is drawn in a slightly different direction today. I touched on it yesterday, last week, in fact, as well. We'll expand on it because it's just, there's a positive wave coming. We just need to, we need to nurture it. We need to encourage it. We need to be part of a force to expand the wave. And we'll get to that as we get through the program. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, attitude of thankfulness, present your request to God. Here we go. You ready? This is the part of it. And the peace of God, which transcends, passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a verse that says, who can add an hour to their life by worry? Who can add one single hour by worrying about things? Okay. It doesn't mean passing off responsibilities that you might worry over, but it's about dealing with that in the right way. The part of this that is always remarkable to me is the peace that passes understanding. Take the time to deconstruct that phrase. Peace, shalom, what is that? That is a calm, right? You find yourself thinking your best in an attitude, in a position, a place of peace, of calm. Not many thrive in chaos. Not many think as well in chaos as they do in peace. And so the peace that passes understanding is a peace that God gives you and I supernaturally that makes no sense. I don't know why I have it. I'm okay. Yes, my heart hurts, but I'm okay. Yes, this is surprising news, but I'm okay. Honestly, that's where I've been since the election. Hate it. Can't stand what happened. I'm okay. I'm okay. You're okay. Wait a minute. I'm okay, you're okay. That was a book or something. It's important, though, that you really embrace that notion. Peace that passes understanding, because it guards your heart and your mind. Bad decisions are often made when we don't make our decisions with peace, calm, when we're panicked. Peace that passes understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May that be yours today. 10 minutes after the hour, check out this date in history and ask, what's next month's History Month? We'll get to that in a second here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
And I live in a van down by the river.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA. All right, let's take a peek into the American Patriots Almanac here. March the 2nd. It was on this date in 1793, Sam Houston was born in Lexington, near Lexington, Virginia. What a history.
Yeah, that guy lived a life.
Governor of Tennessee, ends up becoming the leader of the army in Texas, the governor of Texas, the president of Texas, then eventually a senator from Texas. I mean, the best quote around him is an armed man threatened him when he was 68 years old in one town, and Houston just stared him down. Ladies and gentlemen, keep your seats. It is nothing but a fice, which is a small dog, barking at the lion in his den. That's a quote.
Legend.
At least he didn't call him a catamite. Let's see here. Congress outlaws the importation of slaves in 1807. 1836, Republic of Texas declares its independence from Mexico. 1877, Rutherford B. Hayes is declared president by an electoral commission over Democrat Samuel J. Tilden in a disputed election. 1917, Puerto Rico becomes a U.S. territory, its inhabitants, U.S. citizens. I've never understood that. Puerto Rico is a country. It's another nation.
They don't even, their athletes don't play for the United States in the Olympics. They don't compete.
That's what I'm saying. I don't get this.
Yeah, I've never understood that one either. It's confused me.
In 1949, the Lucky Lady 2, a B-50 Super Fortress, becomes the first plane to fly nonstop around the world, refueling four times in the air. In 1949, we were refueling planes in the air?
What? And we still aren't allowed to keep our cars on when we fill them up at a gas station now.
That's crazy. Crazy. All right. I wrote on the rundown here, last month was Black History Month. We know this. You know where I'm going with this, in the sense that we don't need to designate specific months.
Then you must know what this month is.
Sure, it's Women's History Month.
That's right.
What's next month?
I have no idea.
Exactly. I have it, though. I do know.
Is it? Is there is something next month?
Yes. Next month, actually from the middle of this month through the middle of next month, is National Deaf History Month.
Oh, okay.
In May, it's Asian Pacific American Heritage and Jewish American Heritage Month.
Simultaneously.
In May. I'm not going to recognize, you know, Pride Months because it's not about history. So there's nothing assigned to June, July, or August. I guess because schools are out. I don't know. September, National Hispanic Latino Heritage Month, which, you know, when I see heritage, I'm thinking, okay, that's history. That's about history. In October, Italian American Heritage Month. November, National American Indian Heritage Month. Nothing in December. So, all you nationalities getting left out. June, July, August. Of course, now if you pick June, you're going to be attacked for trying to, you know, shoehorn your way into the Gay Lesbian Pride Month. But you've got June, July, August. You've got December and January still available to you. I'm wondering if we're going to get to Transgender History Month. RuPaul ought to be very prominent. 16 minutes after the hour. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
And iHeart's radio station.
Okay. 21 minutes after the hour of the Morning Show with Preston Scott. There are always going to be things that I make you aware of. There are things that you make me aware of. But regardless, we try to bring a little clarity to all of it. Hyatt, of course, pushing back. It was attacked with a boycott Hyatt effort when it accepted the CPAC convention. When CPAC realized it could not hold its annual convention in Washington, D.C. or adjacent Virginia because of the COVID lockdowns by the commissars of the region. And so they moved to Florida. Ron DeSantis said, please come here. And so Hyatt gets attacked. Now CPAC is attacking Hyatt because they claim that they got set up with some stage thing that is now been turned into the stage resembled some Nazi iconic symbol, which quite honestly, I've never seen before in my life. Until someone showed it on a lapel. But even if you say that that's what that is, it's upside down, so they did it badly anyway. But I don't think, I personally don't think there's anything to any of it. But if it is, if some stage director at the Hilton, or at the Hyatt, rather, thought it was funny, whatever. You know, stop with the stupid staging. Just do a stage. You know, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. But the idea of Hyatt finally saying to the cancel culture, get over yourself, was refreshing. And as I say in my commentary, it will gain them market share if this whole dust up over the staging gets settled in some form or fashion. I mean, the fact of the matter is, there has been an effort to try to connect conservatism to Nazism forever. There's nothing new about that. It is outrageous. It is the dead opposite. It is the liberal left movement that closely resembles fascism and Nazism, the cancel culture, the burning of the books, the whole nine yards. And Bill Maher is warning everybody of that. Even Bill Maher is pointing out, be careful, this cancel culture is coming for you. All you on the left, it's coming for you.
He's got some crazy opinions, but every now and again, he can step back and look at the left quite objectively.
I had someone make the argument that Bill Maher is close to a libertarian. That he's got a few issues here and there, but that generally speaking, he's very close to being a libertarian. And I can see where someone might think that. You know, I still think that he's a guy that is coming out of the liberal left mindset and still has counseling to go through. But the bottom line is this. When even someone on the left, but keep in mind, he's a comedian. And comedians, you know, at their core, can't survive in a cancel culture. They have no chance. They don't have a shot. And increasingly, you're seeing comedians say, forget this, I'm not even touring. It's not worth it. But what I am heartened by is there is evidence of people being just fed up. They're just done with the cancel culture. University of Texas alumni threatening to no longer donate money until the university president settles the issue of the alma mater, the Eyes of Texas, which apparently has Confederate origins. So what? It just, none of this matters, but to the cancel culture. Until you want to cancel the cancel culture, then all of a sudden it's a very different story. But donors are now sending notes to the president. My wife and I have given an endowment in excess of $1 million to athletics. This could very easily be rescinded if things don't drastically change around here. Has everyone become oblivious of who supports athletics? Another donor wrote, it is disgraceful to see the lack of unity in our fiercest competitor, Sam Ellinger, standing nearly alone. It is symbolic of the disarray of this football program you inherited. This was written probably to Steve Sarkisian, the new coach. The critical race theory garbage that has been embraced by the football program and the university is doing massive irreparable damage to our glorious institution in the country. It has got to stop. The head of the Longhorn Alumni Band Charitable Fund Board said alumni are pulling their gifts and it's continuing and you better deal with it. To his end, Steve Sarkisian said, and I quote, I know this much. The Eyes of Texas is our school's song. We're going to sing that song. We're going to sing it proudly.
Maybe they'll start winning now.
Don't apologize anymore. 27 minutes after the hour, it's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
When you thought you were right. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Well, all righty. It's Tuesday on The Morning Show. That's Grant Allen over there in Studio 1 AM here in Studio 1B. Show 4418. We are, oh my goodness gracious, we are. Got to look at calendar here for just a second. How about that? My anniversary's coming up on the 18th, and I'm taking the day off. Taking 2 days off right around there. Well, it works out well. That will mark my 19th year. So on Wednesday the 17th, I will be officially completing my 19th year of hosting The Morning Show, which I created in my image. And and so we'll begin when we come back the week following with the first show of the 20th year of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. So, you know, a lot of people struggle with that concept of, you know, You celebrate a birthday, now you're in the next year. See, it's like I've celebrated my 60th birthday, so I'm actually in my 61st year right now of life. That's intimidating. It really is. Anyway, I talked about the other day, and this is going to fire you up. At least it should. If it doesn't, then, well, I mean, that's okay. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I mentioned a few days ago that I was caught off guard watching USA Women's Soccer, and I thought we were through all the kneeling, and, you know, U.S. Soccer had said, no, you're not taking a knee during the national anthem. You're representing the United States. We support this through the USOC, the United States Olympic Committee, which is supported by U.S. tax dollars. Now, U.S. Women's Soccer, U.S. Men's Soccer, they are supported by other entities, no doubt. They don't live exclusively off of the tax dollars of Americans. However, they have generated enough that they are holding on to some very, very wealthy investments. I've looked at their financials. They got a lot of money coming in and out. They certainly have a rainy day fund. And I have long argued that the women ought to be paid more than the men.
Because they win World Cups.
In the case of men and women's soccer in the United States, the women's soccer program has achieved more, won more, and generated more notoriety in advertising. Heck yeah, pay them more.
The ladies are often more popular than the men right now.
No, well, sure. Now that's changing.
Yeah.
The men's program's getting better. And I hope they all do well. Sort of. I draw my line when they continue to take a knee, continue to do the Black Lives Matter nonsense built on a lie.
wear their jerseys inside out so the USA symbol doesn't get seen as they come out for the start of the game? Wait, what? See, I don't think you can have it both ways. I don't think you can play for the United States national team and then be embarrassed to wear the United States emblem. Go play in your professional league. But don't represent the United States if you don't want to represent the United States. If you're embarrassed, then don't. But it gets worse. Wait till you hear what the United States Soccer Federation just did.
Someone has to say it. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
I thought we were past the wearing of the Black Lives Matter stuff. We're not. I thought we were past embarrassing the people that support you by turning the jerseys inside out or some other way of denigrating the country that makes it possible for you to make a stupid living playing soccer. And I don't begrudge you for it. I'm just saying I begrudge you resenting the nation that makes it possible for you to be independently wealthy playing a game. I have a problem with that. The other night while watching them play in the She Cup or whatever it's called.
She Believes.
Is that what it is? Okay.
She believes that we will win.
She believes that we will win. I was just stunned to see the jersey stripped of United. The back of the jersey said States. And I thought it was their hair covering the other side because they were running. And then I saw a close-up. No, no. It's on the right shoulder, where on the left shoulder would have been United States. United's gone. And then I thought, well, this is weird. And then I saw the front of the coaches' pullovers, and they said it said States. So clearly, we're making a statement by omitting the word United. We're fanning the flames of division. Then comes this. U.S. Soccer Federation Athlete Council. Seth John, former member of the United States Army, served three tours and then was injured and now is a para athlete. Seth John was having none of it. They were having a discussion on rescinding this. Well, we're going to let them kneel for the national anthem if they want. He's on the council. He's allowed his opinion. And so he said, I'm going to ruffle some feathers with what I'm about to say, especially given that the athletes' council that I'm on, but given the evolution of our quote-unquote progressive culture where everything offends everybody, those willing to take a knee for our anthem don't care about defending half of our country. And when they do so, then they don't have too much concern in also exercising my First Amendment right. We're here to get different perspective. I also feel compelled to articulate that I am of mixed race and representative of undoubtedly the most persecuted people in our country's history, Native Americans. He said that 95% of deaths in black communities come at the hands of another black man. He was citing FBI statistics, which is 100% accurate. I keep hearing about how our country was founded on the backs of slaves, even though approximately only 8% of the entire population even owned slaves. Every race in the history of mankind has been enslaved by another demographic at some point. Blacks have been enslaved, Hispanics have been enslaved, Asians most recently in our country in the freaking 20th century have been enslaved, Natives have been enslaved, whites have been enslaved. Shoot, I lived in Africa for 2.5 years where I could purchase people, slaves, between the price of $300 and $800 per person. Where were the social justice warriors and the news journalists there to bring their ruminations to those real atrocities? And yet in all of history, only one country has fought to abolish slavery, the United States of America, where nearly 400,000 men fought and died for the abolishment of slavery underneath the same stars and bars that our athletes take a knee for. Their sacrifice is tainted with every knee that touches the ground. The following day, Mr. John was voted off the council.
And he was canceled.
Yep.
God bless him.
He's doubling down.
Good.
But he violated their policies on speech. I guess their policies on speech were not in keeping with the First Amendment. And I get that to a certain extent because you can't say anything you want. But this is not an employment. This is an advisory council. But they don't want to hear any opinion but their own. So that is the epitome of the cancel culture. I'm not done. More next on The Morning Show.
The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Shazam.
News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Minutes after the hour, The Morning Show with Preston Scott. We're talking about the evolution of the political correct culture to the personally attacking cancel culture. Political correctness had a child. It had a baby, and that baby has become the cancel culture. There have been moments along the way to stop it. The NFL had the opportunity to stop it with Colin Kaepernick. They would have won any legal challenge whatsoever. I remind you, and I say these things from time to time because we have new listeners all the time. The show's always growing. And a lot of you may have missed the argument against Colin Kaepernick and those in the NFL that knelt. When you are an employee, you do not have a First Amendment right in the workplace. You don't. Now, you can go ahead and say anything you want, but you can be fired. You don't believe me? Try saying whatever you like to your boss that isn't very flattering and see how that works out. Tell he or she what an idiot they are, how dumb they are, what a bad leader they are, whatever it is, and watch what happens to job security. There is no protected speech in the workplace. The NFL had the opportunity to nail this thing and nip it, and everyone would have had cover moving forward because it would have likely been sued by the National Football League Players Association, and they would have lost. Free speech is protected outside the workplace. Hold a press conference, Colin. Say all you want. But when you're employed, when you are inside our building, when you're practicing, when you're representing us at an official function, i.e. a football game, you will stand for the anthem. That's just what we do. If you don't like that, that's fine. You don't have to play in the National Football League. If you want to be an activist, that's fine. That's the beauty of America. That's my contention with the U.S. Women's National Team. If you want to be activists, fine. Go ahead, see what that pays you. See what kind of living you can make. But if you want to represent the United States Women's National Team, we're not talking about the Seattle's whatever, or the Columbus whatever, the Orlando whatever, wherever cities are. We're not talking about a pro team. We're talking about the United States Women's National Team, which is supported in part by tax dollars through the United States Olympic Committee, is what I've uncovered so far. If you don't want to wear the jersey, if you don't want to wear the colors, if you don't want to stand for the anthem, then don't be part of the team. But the NFL just went coward and nothing happened. But let me show you what happens when someone stands up. Bluefield College, a small Baptist liberal arts school in Bluefield, Virginia. Basketball players were warned, don't take a knee during the national anthem. Well, they went ahead and did it anyway. So, the president suspended the entire team and they forfeited their next game. The players decided they would stay in the locker room for the national anthem. Now, personally, I wouldn't accept that. If you're representing the school, I wouldn't accept that. But that's fine. That's an alternative. You're just not going to disrespect it. That's a workable solution. The players came to the opinion, well, you know, we're pretty good and we have a chance to win the conference title and play for a championship. So, yeah, we want to play basketball. The players were claiming that because there was a pro-Trump rally near the school, not on the school grounds, near the school, they had a right to do this. See, that's the lack of understanding. President Bluefield said, we are a private entity, not a government entity. We have policies and guidelines throughout the student handbook and the academic catalog that limits certain rights you otherwise might have elsewhere. Boom. That's the way it is in the workplace, too. You may not know that, but that's the way it is. It's the way it is for me. There's if I were to attack the bosses of iHeart, I couldn't expect to be employed very long. Time for news. Come back with more of The Morning Show. Welcome to hour number two of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Over there, Grant Allen in Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. It is Tuesday, March the 2nd. Great to be with you this morning. Some of the big stories we are keeping an eye on. Andrew Cuomo's out of a job. He just doesn't know it yet. He's done.
Oh, boy.
He's done. But here's the story. Here's the analysis that you're not hearing. It would be easy to step back and say, well, finally, lawmakers in New York have even had enough for them. They finally said no to Andrew Cuomo. You would be mistaken. This is opportunism. New York lawmakers, most of them, hate Andrew Cuomo. Because to them, Andrew Cuomo is a moderate. Listen. To them, Andrew Cuomo is too tough on crime. To them, he is an obstacle that must be overcome, and look at what got brought to us. COVID. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? They're taking advantage of terrible decisions made by Cuomo, covering it up. Clearly a pattern of sexual harassment. He's done. He's done. But do not chalk this up as New York lawmakers suddenly getting a conscience about something. No, they want a more liberal person in the governor's office. Just wait and see. Now, does that person get elected? We'll see. We'll see what the voters do. But mark my words, if you look at the lawmakers in New York making the biggest noises right now, saying, get him out, they are the extreme left.
Why wouldn't he get elected when the neighbors to the north, Vermont, which is of the northeastern states, relatively conservative, they elected Bernie. Why wouldn't they elect a more progressive, more left governor? Of course they would.
Yeah. That's what's coming. I don't know if you've seen, CDC is right now saying, these new variants, I don't know, we could be facing more danger. Because the COVID virus has mutated. And these variants could pose problems. Vaccines may not work on all of them. The masking, I don't know. You know, these kinds of, I'm starting to have a little fun here, so don't, you know. You know, these viruses evolve. They could now be capable of lifting your mask up and climbing inside your nose and mouth, even though you're wearing three masks. So you're going to have to put duct tape over your nose and mouth. But I can't breathe. But you won't get the virus. Hmm? Huh? Yeah. I bring this up because it's not going to end. There will be a reason to keep this going on indefinitely. So, it's time to address some obvious issues. I'm going to ask you, we're going to turn on our call screener. I'm going to ask you to rat out some people without naming names. I just want your opinion. If you work for the state of Florida, do you know of people that are taking advantage of COVID and not doing their job? Because I've got emails saying that a lot of mid and upper management, they're not doing their job, while others are working feverishly to try and get their job done remotely. So if you're working remotely in state government, or you're not, either way, but you know of this problem, or if it's not a problem, no, everyone's doing great. I want to hear from you. Time to play tattletale. I don't want names. I just want to know, is this email accurate that people are abusing the opportunity? 850-205-WFLA.
Beck program. It's time to act like Spock. Stop feeling and just use reason.
9 to noon on WFLA.
I get an email from a listener who writes in part, I know too many who are scamming. They can monitor mouse movements by using Microsoft Teams in other ways. This is outrageous. Some are working more than 40 hours a week. Others are not logging in for days or weeks. And some of those scamming are making the most money. So it's a real simple question. If you work in government, are there people that are not doing their job? I'm just curious. I don't want you to name names. That doesn't matter to me. I want to verify whether or not this complaint is accurate. So if I don't get any calls, I'll know that there may not be anything to it, because I get a ton. We've got a ton of people that listen that work for the state. I know, because you get mad at me every time I say you shouldn't be getting endless raises. But I want to earnestly know the truth. See, this COVID thing is gone too far. It's gone way too far. You walk up to a store, by ordinance, by local ordinance, you are required to wear. Take the sign down. Have some courage. Take the sign down. Stop it. I just think that we need to start putting some lines in the sand, people, because businesses are hurting. Individuals are hurting, while the elected officials in communities that do this stuff are still getting paid. Hold on, with your tax dollars. They work for you, and they're telling you you can't work, or you can't work enough hours, or you can't run your business efficiently. That's why this COVID issue in state government matters to me. Bob, thanks for calling into the program. Is there any truth to this based on your experience? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, Bob, you there?
Yeah.
Well, are you going to talk to me or not?
Yeah, let me tell you something. I know of management and just regular workers that are traveling throughout the country working remotely without taking personal leave, while we go into work every single day, slaving away.
Are they logging in? Are they doing their job remotely?
They're logging in, but not putting in 8 hours. I can tell you that for sure.
Okay, fair enough.
They're traveling around using their laptop and going all over the United States, visiting family, babysitting, not answering emails in a timely manner. It's rampant.
Okay, so this email is accurate. There's a problem.
There's a big problem.
Okay, fair enough. Bob, thanks very much. I appreciate the call. That's what I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to find out because there are state lawmakers listening to me right now. They listen to the when they're in session, we get listened to by even more because they're here. Maybe a few listen off and on. The lobbyists certainly listen. This is an issue, lawmakers. I just want to see how widespread it is. If you want to weigh in on it, I'll take some calls in the next segment, 850-205-9352. If you're in local area, it's just 205-9352, 205-WFLA. State workers are people taking advantage of COVID and not working. Time to draw some lines in the sand on all these mandates and all this nonsense. 16 minutes after the hour, it's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Dude, yes!
And iHeart's radio station.
Okay, let's put some context to what's going on here. Yes, I'm asking you to be kind of a tattletale. I mean, is it really being a tattletale if you just say this problem exists without naming names? I don't think so. I think you're identifying an issue. Now, it's been pointed out that Governor Ron DeSantis can just simply tell workers time to get back to work. That's true. And that will be a question for the governor when we next talk to him. Is it time to see that happen? But I got an email from a listener that knows of state workers personally. The assertion here is those that are doing it are those in the upper management level that are not doing their job. They're not responding to email. They're not engaging in their meetings appropriately. They're not getting it done. And they're taking advantage of the COVID situation. And so I'm simply asking you what your personal experience is on this. Tim, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. In reference to your email, I have to say I'm a middle management SES employee. And my agency, I won't say it, but we have to sign an agreement that says what hours we will work, where we will be. And we're only allowed Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I don't know what agency the other caller may be with, but it's certainly not an issue with any employee, especially upper management at my agency for telework.
When you say Tuesdays and Thursdays, what do you mean?
That means Tuesdays and Thursdays are the only days that we're allowed to work out of the office from our home or whatever location that you pick. We can't travel. We can't be other places. We have to list on our work agreement, our telework agreement, the address, the location, the fact that we have Wi-Fi, that we have our internet. I mean, it's an agreement that you have to sign. It can be revoked at any time. So if any state employee is taking advantage of that, that can be revoked at any time.
Tim, tell me this, and to your knowledge, do the department heads have the authority to kind of handle it how they see fit? For example, I've been told the Department of Agriculture has extended working from home through September.
Oh, wow. But yes, my particular division director, if he chose to, he could say, hey, Tim, your telework ends this week. We need you back in the office.
Could he do the opposite?
To do that.
Could he do the opposite? Could he say you're working from home the entire time?
Nope, because our agency policy is for my position level, Tuesdays and Thursdays only. He would have to go to the secretary to change that to allow me more time.
So it kind of wouldn't surprise, I guess what I'm saying is from a political perspective then, it wouldn't surprise you to hear that the Department of Agriculture under Nikki Fried might take a bit of a contrarian view to all of this.
That would be a good point, yes.
Tim, thanks very much for the clarification from your perspective. Let's go to Tom and understand some people are using their names, some people are not. We're getting calls off air as well about this. Clearly, this is an issue in some form. In some form. To what degree, how widespread, I don't know. Tom, what about your perspective?
Yes, good morning, Preston. Yes, the email is true.
But one observation I would like to make, a lot of this goes on anyway. So I'm sure the same people who abuse their lunch, their leave, I mean, their breaks, they're doing the same thing when they're teleworking. And it just seems to be an accepted practice, which is kind of sad.
So you're observing this around you?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, Tom, thanks very much. Okay, the phone lines are just blowing up. You are welcome to call in. I'll keep this going for a while. Again, this is not planned other than let me back this up. I got the email yesterday, and I wanted to go ahead because I know that we have a lot of state workers, and I know that you work really hard. Most of you, absolutely. There will always be exceptions. You understand that. But the odds are, if you listen to this program, you work very hard because that's what conservatives do. They earn their living. If the job is for you to stay there till 4, you stay till 4. If it's to 5, you stay till 5. It's the other people that cut and leave early and extend lunch breaks longer. And so I get that. But if this is another issue where COVID is being taken advantage of, I'll be honest with you, I want to be able to talk to the governor about it. And I think this helps. So you just want your experiences. If you can be patient, that's what I'm coming back to you next, right after the news on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Spin stops here. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
In case you're tuning in at this hour for the first time in the week, missed yesterday's show, we no longer have a national correspondent in this segment. I ditched that. And look, Bill Zimfer's tough to replace. And so I've decided to take the time back, and now I'm glad I did, because we're taking phone calls. This all started from an email that I received from someone claiming that a lot of state workers, and oftentimes up the pay chain, not always, are abusing COVID leave. COVID working environments, and are not doing their jobs. And so we're just taking calls, determining how widespread this is. So far, we've had some people say it's not going on in their department that they know of. We've had others say, oh, it's absolutely happening around me. And what about you? So it's 850-205-9352. We have one line open if you want it. Diana, thanks for calling in and being so patient.
Oh, good morning. Yes, I work for an education downtown, and we were all sent home last March, and my bureau did not skip a beat teleworking. And then the commissioner actually authorized division directors to decide if they want to continue their employees to work from home indefinitely, regardless of COVID. And it was left up to the division directors. And they were told to pack up and clean and leave their offices. However, I work for a division where we were mandated to come back. So we go back to the building, but you still sit in your offices. You have to meet people through Teams or talk to them on the telephone. And I'm telling you, the building is a ghost building, but I don't think that anyone in our bureau and division have actually abused the teleworking.
Okay.
Most people said it was more productive. The people who abuse it are the ones that would abuse time if they came into the office setting anyway.
Fair enough. All right, Diana, thanks very much. I appreciate that. Let's go to Robert. Hello, Robert.
Good morning, sir. It's a great day in Florida.
It's always a great day in Florida because you're in Florida.
Absolutely. My experience is I sell to the federal government. We have recently set up in our businesses a couple of things that we've had to interact with the Florida Secretary of State. And my experience professionally with the state of Florida is they haven't missed a beat. On the federal level, it is deplorable. That is my experience.
Okay. So the state is handling its business pretty well, and the feds not so much.
that's being generous as far as the Fed's not so much. They are really they are really abusing the system. And what I hate to say is this, even active duty military, it's I have not seen this ever in 30-some years of doing business in D.C.
Wow. All right, brother, thanks very much for the phone call. Be well. Let's go to James. James, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Preston. Love the show. Thanks.
Thank you.
My gripe is that experience is that I've been trying to get up with the Department of Agriculture for some special licenses and left them emails for months and phone calls, and they have yet to return a phone call, email, anything.
So your anecdotal experience is that from a customer service perspective, you're getting nowhere with the things, the questions that you have.
Correct. Yes, sir. That's right. I've been trying to get in touch with them, and they have not gotten back in touch with me at all. Nothing.
You know what I would do, James? I would address that to the secretary, to the what's her official title?
Commissioner.
Commissioner of Agriculture?
Commissioner Nikki Fried?
Yeah.
Yeah, Commissioner.
And copy the governor's office. They'll love that. Seriously, I would do that. I would point out you're not getting any customer service at all and your repeated efforts. But copy the governor's office. No, seriously. That's like the ultimate slap in Nikki Fried's face. It really is. John, you're next. What about you? We have time to take just a few more calls. Are people in state government, are there folks abusing this work remotely thing? 850-205-WFLA.
Kent Weather on the 10s and the truth all the time. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Yeah, final segment of phone calls here. Getting email confirming problems inside the Department of Agriculture. Taking advantage of it, one with the theory Nikki Fried is just doing everything she can to buck the system and irritate. That's no surprise there. Have another email here that is agreeing that there are those that are taking advantage of it, while many and most are not. So I think I'm getting a clear picture, and that's why I'm doing this. I just want to get a clear picture. I've got one email here. And I just thought it was worth finding out a little bit more. So let's go to John. John, thank you so much for being patient with me this morning. Your thoughts?
Well, I didn't realize it was about the work from home. However, there are a lot of abuses going on related to this in other agencies in the state of Florida. In Marianna, Agency for Persons with Disabilities has a facility here. All through the summer, people who were going to the facility to work would run the heaters on their car wide open. So when they got to work, first thing they did, boom, we're going to check your temperature. You're a little high. You spend the next hour or two hanging out in the chapel with everybody else who did the same thing, and you're getting paid because you're on the facility. One person in the houses there would test positive for COVID, and every single employee would call in sick the next day because they'd get up to those 2 weeks of the free leave.
Right, the quarantine.
Those symptoms, and you're talking about the patients, the residents over there have underlying medical condition, and a vast majority shows no symptoms when they get COVID. And so staff, the majority of who do not have any underlying conditions, just don't show up to work, and every single one would call in sick.
John, thanks very much. I appreciate you sharing that. I got to go to Cindy here. Cindy, thanks for calling.
Good morning.
So tell me your perspective on the issue here.
Okay. I work for the Gadsden County School Board at a vocational school in Quincy, and we are up and running. We are operating safely. We're trying to get students licensed for cosmetology and nails. And when we contact Department of Business Professional Regulation or Department of Education, we cannot get through. They've changed statutes. The statutes are not matching up with the framework. And something's going on. I went there in person, tried to get some answers. And the man that takes the licensure money didn't know anything. He said, don't kill the messenger. He said, nobody's at work. They're working from home, but the parking lot was full.
Wow.
So we're having a time getting answers when statutes are misread and things are changed, and we've had no notification of this prior to. It's been a little difficult, but we're still up and running, and we're getting these girls going to work.
Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate that. One more caller here. Rick, you're the final caller.
Yes, good morning.
Go right ahead.
My problem is I'm trying to buy a house that's come up for closing three times since January the 20th. Every time I'm told it's held up in probate because of the COVID.
So it's, well, you know, if honestly, that makes sense because right now, I mean, that really wasn't on topic, Rick, but it makes sense. We're not even, you know, settling federal corruption charges. I mean, court cases are basically at a standstill because of this. And we're a state that's operating fairly open. I can't even imagine. So we're hearing from all different sides that there are issues. How about if we just say that? How widespread it is, I don't think we know that. We just know that there are people taking advantage of it, and it's a shame. But it's reflective of our culture to a certain extent, isn't it? 46 minutes after the hour. Thanks for all the phone calls. To anyone we didn't get to, sorry about that. Manly Minute and more coming up next.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Horace Cooper will be joining me shortly from Project 21. One of my favorite guests. He was on Fox recently just laying it down. He knows more. He's forgotten more about the Constitution than we know. He's brilliant legal mind. But anyway, you think people in Portland are kind of done? Why is anyone staying? Why is any business staying in Portland?
That is a wonderful question. They just hate themselves.
In this past weekend, 150 people marched through Portland's, quote, Pearl District in what was called a direct action event. Now, I just want to make a point here. Notice how organized Klantifa is. And I keep seeing people try to say, oh, they're not organized. It's not really a direct action campaign. Smashing the windows of Starbucks, Chipotle, Umpqua Bank, Urban Pantry, tagging them with graffiti. These places are their businesses. They're their homies.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get more woke than Starbucks.
Yeah.
And Chipotle. It's just, and it still happens. Where is the National Guard? Where's Joe Biden? Where are the Democrats in the House and the Senate?
The national news media.
Anybody. The national media pivoted on this story the moment they saw the polling. It was killing Democrats. They pulled it off the news. Remember, one of the mantras of the illiberal mainstream media, if we don't cover it, it didn't happen. That's the arrogant attitude that happened with the Tallahassee Democrat before its demise. And it's done. It just doesn't know it yet. The arrogant attitude of ignoring stories year after year after year dealing with things that were obvious conflicts of interest for elected officials. They ignored it. Editors took walks with people that are heading to jail, claiming to be friends. It's embarrassing. But why would a business stay there? Why would you just not say, ah, if you're Starbucks, ah, this just isn't worth it. And let some jobs be lost at the expense of Klantifa. Let that be on them. There's nothing conservative happening in those communities. So why is it happening there? Because it's allowed. That's why. And that's why you be great, like the caller. You be grateful you are living in Florida.
Now you're a mailman. Mailman. Now you're a mailman. Mailman. You are now a man. You're a mailman. Now you're a mailman.
Remember, Manly Minute. Male by birth, man by choice. These are little skills you need to teach your son. Here it is. Teach your son how to properly grill a steak or a piece of chicken. Okay. Teach him how to find the right temperature without a temperature thing. Just by using a knife, touching it with the spatula, knowing. Teach him how to grill properly. That way you can look at him and say,
now you're mortal.
Time for news. Come back with Horace Cooper, Project 21, as we go to hour number 3 of the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Morning Show with Preston Scott. Great to be with you this morning. Show number 4418, day 42 of America Held Hostage, Tuesday, March the 2nd. It's been too long, but I'm always excited to have back with us on the program Horace Cooper. He's senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research, co-chairs Project 21. Taught constitutional law at George Mason University, and he's author of a book that came out this past summer, How Trump is Making Black America Great Again. He is Horace Cooper. Horace, how's that counseling coming?
Well, I think, like many Americans, over 75 million of us, we're looking around and wanting to hold our leaders accountable for whatever decisions that they're making, and helping people to remember there are consequences to the choices that are made.
Is that, let me back up a second. Do you think there was a strategic mistake made in Congress when Barack Obama and the Democrats shoved through Obamacare Christmas Eve 2009, that they didn't just let the whole thing go into effect so that everyone could feel the pain of it?
That they didn't let the whole thing go into effect?
Yep, that they tried to slow it down, block it, and so forth. There's a mindset, Horace, we would have been better off to literally pay the consequences for that vote, and we might be past it by now.
Well, my understanding is that the way that the Obamacare ended up working out is that because the Senate no longer had a filibuster-proof majority, they were forced to take the not-finished product and pass it instead of taking the time to actually work through. Now, I don't know what could have really been done to fix Obamacare, but I do know that, having worked on Capitol Hill, that typically what is passed by either chamber is the negotiating process for an ultimate, what's called a conference report, that is then ultimately passed by both, where people are able to look at all the issues, all the complaints, and come up with a resolution. We're likely, again, not to see that kind of process work out with regard to the so-called COVID relief plan.
Right.
That instead of actually listening and hearing from the American people, hearing from Republicans and Democrats, they're likely to try to just jam through using the rules as they exist, that they don't have to allow for extended debate. And there will be consequences. Obamacare was fatally flawed as part of the process of having been rushed through,
right,
so that they could get it accomplished and say, well, the House at least finished this, never realizing that that would be the final bill that they were stuck with for an up or down vote on. And that process tells me no lessons have been learned. And the American people, and I'm one of those American people, I saw my insurance go from $187 a month to over $800 a month. People like me who are professionals who go into the private market didn't have to have pregnancy care. I don't know. I thought this was settled science, but maybe it's not. I don't imagine that I'm ever going to get pregnant.
Well, you
but
never know.
Horace,
you
anyway.
never know when you might identify as a pregnant woman, though.
And apparently, all people like me who might ultimately one day identify would need treatment, and apparently identifying as a pregnant woman is more costly to the healthcare system than actually just being a pregnant woman. My point about this is, though, it was devastating to millions of Americans, and when the Associated Press belatedly said that the lie of the year was Barack Obama's statement that if you like your doctor, you can keep him. If you like your plan, you can keep him. We're looking to seeing something a lot more similar like that with the COVID relief plan.
When we come back, Horace Cooper will stay with us one more segment. I'm going to ask him, what is the most egregious part or what are the most egregious parts of the COVID relief bill? I know my list. I want to hear his next on The Morning Show.
Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Can you believe it? In this liberal town, here we are, thriving and surviving yet again. The Morning Show with Preston Scott, day 4418. Horace Cooper, author of the book, How Trump is Making Black America Great Again. And we're talking about the COVID relief package. If you would even, I mean, that is such a stretch to call it COVID relief, isn't it?
I think it is. Let's stop COVID from ever going away plan. And here's the thing. You look at this proposal. It is really going to be hurtful, not just to our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, which it will be to them. But what is really not being paid attention to is how many people it's going to hurt today. Today, we are saying to every American that we believe funds from American taxpayers, we should reverse policy and let funds go to the households of illegal immigrants. This is something that a lot of attention ought to be given to, and very little is. I know that there are listeners on this program who say, well, it's $1,400 that's going to be into that. That's not even 20% of this $1.9 trillion. Much more are going to do things that are destructive. A minimum wage hike. In the middle of a pandemic, a minimum wage hike says that if you haven't already gone bankrupt, if you've managed to stretch yourself thin, bury yourself into indebtedness so that you can still be in business, we're going to add another new burden on you that is definitely going to put you out. And it also says to people, and by the way, if you're not presently earning $15 an hour, it's not because your boss is mean, it's because you need to work on improving your skills. Well, guess what? It's not a crime to have low skills. What is a crime is to change the rules so that if you don't have skills to merit $15, that employers can only pay people who do have skills that meet the $15 threshold, meaning you don't get to keep your job or you don't get to get a new job. That is a very hurtful proposition. Millions of people are going to be affected on both ends of this, both business owners and those who are applying. We've got policies in this provision that says if you're a state and you've been smart and you looked out for the future and you planned and you took the really serious steps to maintain and maybe even let your economy grow, ha ha ha, too bad for you, you're a fool. We're going to give a bailout to the states that didn't take care, that didn't act in a responsible way, and that did run up all kinds of debt and continued offering all manner of services, like California's plan. I don't mean to pick on illegal immigrants, but apparently in California, they're taking California resident tax dollars to give payments to people who the, quote, legal system won't allow to receive support. So taxpayers from California are going to be able to do it. Meanwhile, California is asking for all of America to offer them an infusion of billions of dollars. These kinds of measures punish the people who are Americans, who are trying to work, who are trying to make the right choices, and they reward the people who have refused to be responsible, refused to take the kinds of serious choices and decisions, treating the pandemic seriously, while also allowing Americans to get back to life as quickly as possible. When you add all that together, this is a hurts more Americans than helps more Americans, and likely will do very little to actually deal with COVID-19.
Always enjoy visiting with you, Horace. Thanks so much for the time, and look forward to having you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Horace Cooper with us from Project 21. He's also author of the book, How Trump is Making Black America Great Again. Oh, he's black. He's allowed to write that. 16 minutes after the hour.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeart's radio station.
Oh, wow. 22 minutes after the hour, I want you to get your mind around this because the last half hour is going to be... Buckle your seatbelt, because I'm getting a little fired up here over some stuff that's in the news right now that's breaking. Senator Rick Scott, Senator Joni Ernst, Senator Roger Marshall, Senator Josh Hawley, Senator John Kennedy, Louisiana, introduced legislation. Just back up and brace yourself.
No, no. What did they do now?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's right. That they have to do this.
Okay.
I'm not picking on Senator Scott as I did yesterday. Introduce legislation to require members of Congress to have enough time to read bills before voting on them and to certify that they have read every bill that they cast a vote on. That's where we are. Okay. I need you to certify that you brush your teeth. You're just supposed to. Yeah, I know that, but I need you to certify that you did. Well, it's a common sense. You should brush your teeth twice a day. Right. I know that. But I need you to certify that you did. That's where we are. It is to me as elementary as brushing your teeth. Washing your hands when you use the restroom. These are the things you're supposed to do as a member of Congress. You're supposed to read the bill that you're voting on. They're correct. All these senators are correct. It's not happening. They're not reading it. They're not. They've got some aide reading it, and they're getting little highlights, cliff note versions of it.
Five bullet points. We're voting yes, right?
I mean, how else do you get to, let me just see here, see if I can pull it up real, real quick. How else can you possibly have Nancy Pelosi admitting that she has no idea what's in the bill? She's got to pass it in order to read it without there being a need for this. Can't lay my hands on it right this second. But we're there. We need a law to tell lawmakers to do their job and to certify that they did it. Now, you and I both know that's nonsensical. You can't hold people that are fighting a corrupt character to say they read something if they, you know, that they didn't. I mean, they're going to say, yeah, I read it. Sure, I did. When they didn't. And that could have, whatever. You can't hold them accountable to it, is my point. But it is very much like the oath of office, right? You're going to defend and uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, we're passing laws all the time that damage our Constitution. So they're not doing that. Speaking of reading, Joe Biden has officially erased Dr. Seuss from the Read Across America proclamation, which is today. His name is not in it, even though it was originated as sort of a commemoration of Dr. Seuss, which technically is pronounced Dr. Seuss. Having said that, Theodore Geisel's foundation now is saying, you know, you're right. And they are pulling 6 books from circulation because the cancel culture has gotten to them. Democrats love to say Republicans are appropriating the term cancel culture because they don't want to be held accountable. Again, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. But when we come back, big story in the press box on steroids. Next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Beck, you want him on that radio. America can handle the truth. You need him on that radio. 9 to noon on WFLA.
Alrighty, 35 minutes after the hour of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Big story in the press box. U.S. Soccer Federation Athlete Council. One of the members was a guy named Seth John, 38. He opposed the federation's decision to repeal the ban on players kneeling during the national anthem. The federation had said, no, you're not going to take a knee if you're representing the U.S. national team. Well, they decided to repeal that ban, and one of the members of the council opposing that was a guy named Seth John. Seth, a Paralympian soccer player. He gave some pretty direct remarks about why it's absurd to repeal the ban, and because he did not share the opinion of the rest, he got kicked off. Well, so being a member of the U.S. Soccer Federation Athlete Council requires you to agree with everybody else, and that if you don't, you're going to get kicked off. I think that it is absurd that U.S. tax dollars in any way, shape, or form, whether it's the United States Olympic Committee or in any other fashion, support players that are embarrassed to wear the United States emblem or to have United States on their jerseys, which is exactly the way it is right now. It has the USA little kind of a shield on the chest of their uniform right now. They wear that inside out on occasion during the national anthem, and then they'll take it off, turn it inside out or right side out, and wear it during the game. But on the back now, it just says States. It doesn't say United. Now let me just get to another point. See, I don't think they should be playing for the United States team. Play for your professional team, and if they want to hire you, that's fine. I'll get to that more in a second as well. But I think this also is an issue of the United States has to get to a place where we say to people that are the best at what they do, if you don't want to represent us in the Olympics, then you shouldn't be getting the benefits of being an Olympian. You shouldn't be getting the opportunity to do endorsements. There will be companies that do endorsements because you're a renegade, you're rogue. That's fine. That's their right to hire you for that. But there are benefits to being a member of the U.S. national team, and you shouldn't get those. If you're embarrassed to represent the country, why should you represent it? And why should our tax dollars be used for that? The cancel culture is, it's not about holding Republicans accountable, which is what Democrats are now trying to spin this into. They're now suggesting, because Jim Jordan has written a letter to Jerry Nadler saying, we need to have a conversation about the cancel culture. And so when that came out, there's an eruption on the left. Who's your first witness going to be if you have a testimony? Have testimony. Colin Kaepernick? He knows something about being canceled. Does he? Does he? I want to explore that topic. Next on The Morning Show.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Yeah, I'm going to work on finding somebody from U.S. soccer to come on the program to talk about this issue and to talk about funding, to talk about the intolerance that seems to be existing now. Now, I will say that some of the girls do stand for the national anthem while most kneel. And that's cool for them, I guess. But this idea that Colin Kaepernick has been canceled by the NFL. Let's broaden that and let's take the same scenario to any other profession. Let's take it to the world that I'm in. Radio. There are guys, primarily, that have crossed the line over and over and over to the point where the networks just, or the stations didn't want to pay any more fines. Howard Stern was one of them. Howard Stern just, people just, broadcast radio just didn't want to deal with the headache. Howard took his act too serious. And you know what? That's awesome. That is exactly what he had the opportunity to do, and he's made a killing doing it. Good for him. The point is that you could say that he got canceled. Well, his conduct on the air brought about fines from time to time, as I understand it, that led to more and more stations saying, yeah, I don't want to deal with it anymore. Colin Kaepernick made the decision, and the NFL sadly allowed him to do it, to kneel and to not be a football player, but to be known as a political activist. He did not focus on his football. And quite candidly, he had a couple of years where he was a very good NFL quarterback. But then he became an activist, and that's his right. Teams have every right to look at him and say, He has some skill, but what he brings to the team is not worth it for me. He would be a cancer to the team. He would be a disruptive element because if you look at how he's conducted himself, he's constantly putting out tweets, barbing, attacking, and it's like, if I'm an owner, why would I pay money to somebody who's going to come in and be disruptive to a team? As much as any other sport, football is a team sport. You might get away with one weak link, not at quarterback. Not a quarterback, you won't. And if your quarterback is the most disruptive guy on the team, focusing all of the attention on himself and his activism, not being a football player, and he's shown no sign of wanting to be just a football player, why would I, as an owner, have to feel, or why should I feel obliged to hire him? So I would submit to all of the leftists out there talking about the cancel culture being alive and well in the conservative or Republican movement. No, these are people that with their actions are canceling themselves. Colin Kaepernick canceled himself, don't you think?
Yeah, and when he had his last opportunity, he passed. He passed up on it.
After, how ironic that after, a quarterback would pass.
Funny. After years of complaining and people in the media complaining about how in the world is Blaine Gabbert, a guy like Blaine Gabbert, playing in the NFL when Colin Kaepernick is not. And then he gets his final opportunity with a number of teams and a tryout outside of Atlanta. He passes up on it. So spare me the Colin Kaepernick blah, blah, blah.
Didn't want to do it their way. Wanted it his way. I'm sorry, are you wanting in their league? How about John Elway? No, we offered him a contract. He said no. How about the fact that the reason he was unemployed to begin with is he walked out on his contract? He left. These are the things that people conveniently forget. As for me, I'm over it. I'm over it with U.S. soccer. I'm over it with the cancel culture. It's time to push back and stop apologizing. I'm going to try and track down this Seth Yon, or Jan, or however he pronounces his last. I'm going to track him down and get him on the show. 46 minutes after the hour. It's the Morning Show. By the way, Seth John or Jan, again, I should know how it's pronounced, I don't, has been getting death threats for his opinion on the national anthem. That's just, we are in a crazy place, and if you think you're going to frighten a guy who served three tours in the U.S. Army, who lost limbs serving this country with that kind of nonsense,
he'll laugh in your face.
Unbelievable. It's just, it's so sad where we are. Hey, on the blog page, there is just a ton of really good stuff. I'm going to click to the blog page real quickly. My newest blog is a clip from Will Witt with PragerU. How do you stop a bad guy who has a gun? It's the good guy, bad guy. He sits down on a college campus and just talks with some young people who are all, for the most part, not all, but mostly are all anti-gun.
He's on university campuses in California.
Yeah.
That's where they're based.
Yep. And he just calmly disarms them. And literally, almost each and every one by the end is saying, you've given me some things to think about regarding my thoughts on this. I'm going to reconsider my position on this. Why? And that's the point I wanted to make. I wrote a blog around just the fact, it's a short 5-minute video clip. I wrote a blog around it because it demonstrates how getting command of the information allow, and that's what Rush did brilliantly. Rush commanded the information and was able to then connect it to why conservatives think the way they do. Here's a story. Here's evidence of why this idea works or does not work. And let me explain this. And you go, oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. This young man sits down with college students that are opposed to his viewpoint, but just calmly. No threatening way about it, no arguing, no raising of voices, just saying, hey, did you hear about this story? Did you hear about that? What do you think about this? And listening to him and then sharing some thoughts in response, they walked away reconsidering their position. The point I wanted to make in my blog is that's the importance of coming to ownership of the things we talk about. Don't take my word for it. I have my view, but what you need to do is you need to take ownership of information that allows you to make a calm, rational argument. And I mean argument in the most polite way. To just civilly be able to discuss, here's something to think about. Not, you're wrong. Leave that to people like me. We'll say things like that.
Brought to you by Barineau Heating and Air. It's the Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
There you go. Seth John on Fox and Friends right now. Yeah, it's the big story in the press box. U.S. He's kicked off for having a dissenting view. That's absurd. The things he said were factually accurate. And that's the danger of what's going on right now. The cancel culture. Bad stuff. Talk to Horace Cooper from Project 21. That was a good visit. Always fun to talk to Horace. Took some phone calls. Are people in state government taking advantage of the COVID remote work kind of thing? Tomorrow, Charlie Strickland from the Talent Training Group.